That's good stuff, whether you like it or not. I'll say like Levi did when he was little. If there was any kind of food that he liked, like a hot dog or ice cream, he wouldn't say that it was good. He would say, "It's good for me." "So you like that ice cream?" "Uh-huh, it's good for me," he'd say. Everything he liked, it was good for him. Amen. Whether it was or not, that was good for me. Amen. Was it good for you? Amen. Why don't you take your Bibles now? We're going to turn to two places. I want you to first get Mark chapter number 5. I'm going to bring a message tonight that I preached before. It's been quite a while. But I felt the Lord dealing with me early on in the week about this. And just a couple of conversations that I've had recently with a couple of folks and folks that are even here tonight. And so if you get the idea that I'm preaching this message just because of what you said, you're probably right. But it's not to preach at you, it's to preach to you. Yes, amen. There's a difference being preached at and being preached to. Yeah. Amen. It's to help you. And my heart's desire is, as your pastor, is to be a help to you in your walk, in your life. Amen. Yeah. And if my desire is just to preach a good message, you need a preacher. Yeah. Amen. So I want to try to be a help tonight. Mark chapter number 5, you're familiar with the story, so I'm not going to read a whole lot of it. Just going to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. Mark chapter number 5, we know the Lord and His disciples have just come over the Sea of the Gadarenes or the Gadarene Sea, and He's landed there. His boat has landed at the Gadarene seashore, and the man from the tombs who had the legion of demons met Him. Y'all remember, just preached about that a couple of weeks ago. Notice when the man met Jesus, he was one way. But before Jesus left, he was another way. Say it again. Before he met Jesus, he is one way. And it wasn't a good way. He is full of the devil. Amen. Amen. I believe that's a lot of America's problem right there. I really do. I believe they're just absolutely possessed. Amen. I believe people are so full of the devil it ain't funny. And now we've got pills for it instead of prayer. It ain't got nothing to do with the message tonight, but I believe that's the truth. They got names for this and names for that, and if they'd have had it when I was a kid, I'd have had ADD. But they didn't have it when I was a kid, so I got whoopings. Amen. I didn't get Ritalin; I got the belt. Amen. I thought "Shut up, boy" was my name till I was about 15. Amen. Anyway, he met the Lord one way. When the Lord left, his life was changed. Wouldn't you say? Let me ask you a question. Did the Lord make a change in your life? In verse number 15, the Bible said, "And when they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 10. 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Saul is being anointed king over Israel. Verse number 1, y'all say amen when you get there. I don't want to get off way ahead of you. Just a simple truth, no points or funny stories I don't reckon tonight. Just a simple truth from the Word of God that I believe will help you in your walk with the Lord. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?'" Go to verse number 6. The Bible said, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into," say it with me, "another man." Another man. Yeah. "And it was so," verse number 9, "and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him," say it with me, "another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day." Listen carefully. Saul did not get a new body. When the Bible said that he would make him another man, he didn't mean he was going to turn him into somebody else. He was still Saul. I mean, he still had the same flesh. But what he changed in the man was on the inside. In verse number 6, he said, "I'll make you another man." In verse number 9, we found out what made the new man. It was another heart. You understand that? From that day forward, his life was different. He made mistakes and he died. He died a bitter death, and he shouldn't have had to do that, but it was his own fault. But what I'm trying to say is God made the difference in Saul's life. God made the difference in the maniac of Gadara's life. This world we're living in, even religion, if you'll have it that way, they try to teach and believe that as times change and as technology change and as lifestyles change, that somehow God has to change to keep up with us. Are you listening? God has to change to keep up with us. Friend, God doesn't change for nobody. You understand that? God, let me say it again. God changes for no man. It doesn't matter what our ideals are, what our lifestyles become, what we evolve to, or it doesn't matter. God's still God. And he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. In Malachi, he said, I'm the Lord, and I change not. Hey, you're not going to change anything about God. He is who he is. He is what he is, and he always will be what he is. Amen. Now, we just get that real good, and God understands time changes. Yes, he does, but he also wants you to understand that he don't. Amen. Amen. Now, listen careful. He's playing catch-up to nobody. You understand that? The Bible plainly teaches that God never changes. Now, listen, here's what I want you to notice. This is the world's theology. God changes to be more like us. No, sir. The reason God comes in our heart is to change us. Amen. To be more like him. Amen. Let me make that statement again. They say God changes to be more like us. No, God changes us to be more like him. This mixed up theology is why you've got all these weird churches going on in America now. Amen. They got gay church. And I don't mean happy. I'm talking about homosexual church with a homosexual pastor. When my wife and I was on vacation, they showed us, and y'all ain't going to believe this, but I promise you she'll testify it's the truth. We was on vacation, we went snorkeling, and our guide on our snorkeling trip told us about a resort, and it was a hedonism resort. Anybody know what that is? Nudist. He said they do everything nude. They have nude weddings with a nude preacher. That's people trying to take their God and make him more like them. Right, right. But God doesn't lower himself to that. Amen. He doesn't lower himself to homosexuality church or a nude wedding, or he doesn't lower himself to a cowboy church. He doesn't lower himself to a biker church. What you got against cowboys? Nothing. What you got against bikers? Nothing. But God doesn't change to suit our lifestyle. Do you understand that? When I got saved, I started changing. It wasn't God changing. It wasn't me bringing God down to my level. It was God bringing me up to his. Amen. Amen. I hope you get that. This Christian life is a process. And it should be a constant changing of our heart, our lives, our lifestyle, our way of thinking, everything about it. Do you think like you used to think since you got saved? Is that slowly changing? It really is. It's slowly changing. It's just everything. Listen, I'm not conformed. But I am conforming. Yes. Do you understand it? I've been saved over 26 years now, and it's still happening. Excuse me. I love the little song, "He's Still Working on Me," to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Took him just a week to make the moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. But the fact is, he is working. Construction has not ceased. It's not like the subdivisions we see in our area sitting full of empty homes, unfinished, nothing but new paved streets, no houses. The construction process will never stop till we get home. Amen? He's always going to continue to work on us. But listen, Here's the thing, and you got to get this tonight if you don't get nothing else. He is the one who does it. Our problem is when we try to fix everything. You understand that? This thing's a process. Listen, 1 Samuel chapter number 10, God has always been in the business of changing people. You understand that? Mark chapter number 5, man, what a difference we saw in that guy's life. He went from being full of the devil to being clothed, seated in his right mind. He went from being tied up with chains, naked, cutting himself with stone, clothed, sitting, and in his right mind. Amen. Wanting to go with Jesus. Yes, amen, man, what a difference. But you know what? Those people in town tried to fix him. Oh, yeah. They couldn't handle him. Amen. Right. They probably sent him to a doctor. If he is around today, we'd have called Dr. Phil or Oprah. We'd have got him a good psychiatrist. We'd have got him some meds. Y'all listening? Well, they didn't have medication. I'm sure they had a doctor. I'm sure there's a family back home that was very worried about him. Probably tried all they could do. But you understand what they tried to do was beyond their reach. Was beyond their power. There had to be one who had power over what was in him. Get you a good grip on that. I said there had to be one who had power over what had power over him. And when we're dealing with demonic forces in our life, that is a power that is bigger than you, and it's a power that's bigger than me, and it's bigger than this church. But hey, we got a God this morning who put his foot on the throat of that power and can stamp it right out of your life. I don't care how churchy you look tonight, you got devil trouble. Every one of us got devil troubles. I guarantee you, you got issues. Somebody said, so-and-so, they got issues. Everybody does. Everybody does. Some just cover them up better than others. Amen. 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 Listen, get a hold of this fact tonight. This is it. God changes people. God changes people. Do you know how many marriage counseling sessions I have sit through where one spouse got right with God and the other one didn't? And the one that didn't get right is angry because the one who did get right thinks it's now their job to preach to them till they come up to their level. That's right. Let me say it again. God changes people. You understand it's not your job to change your husband? No elbows in the ribs, please. It's not your job to change your husband. You hear me, ladies? If he's not where you are spiritually, you know what your job is? Pray for him. Love him. Be extra special good. And let God do what God can do. Because if you try to change him, you're going to push him in the other direction. And vice versa. Years ago, when we first come here, there was a fellow in our church. I'll just tell you who it was, David Naylor. And we were standing out back here near the steps one day, and he was being a little hard on Miss Laurie, his wife. You remember that? And I had a long talk with Brother David, and I said, look, just because she's not where you are doesn't mean you got to browbeat her till she does. Yeah. I said, you're going to put a root of bitterness in her heart. It's going to make her hate anything to do with church, hate anything to do with God, and you're going to drive her away. But here's what our job is. Our job is to live in front of and act in front of, just like Jesus would, to be compassionate and loving toward one another and watch God work. You know, some people progress faster than others. It's no different with your children. You may have an A-plus student and one, 2 years younger that does all they can do to make a C. Some progress faster than others. It's the same way in this Christian life. Some jump in, get on fire, and man, they just grow like crazy, and within a year's time, they're rooted, they're grounded. I mean, they're ready to go out and do something for God. But then there's others who it takes a little longer. I'm not saying they're dense or dumb. It just takes a little longer. It's the way they're geared. It's the way it works. Amen. Amen. What we got to learn to do instead of trying to change so many people is be patient with people. Amen. Y'all okay? What we need to learn to do is be patient. I grew up in a society. Well, let's not just say society. I grew up in church where it was the church's job to straighten everybody out. Church's job to straighten everybody out. I don't know where one might be, but go find me a cup, if you would, Michael. In the coffee room. Any kind of cup will do. Coffee cup, I don't care. I remember when I became a teenager, church was all about what you can't do. Anybody like that? There's got to be rules now. Don't get me wrong. They said again, there's got to be rules. Yes, amen. Or you got chaos. Yes, but it seems like that's all there was. Yeah. Was a bunch of rules, man. I can't go to the theater. I can't listen to music. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. All it was man, you get saved. You get right with God. You're supposed to just get rid and 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 get rid. And you know what? That's the truth. Yeah. Amen. When you get saved, there's some things that ought to start to go. My cusser waned off. And it worked wide open before I got saved. Amen. I'm talking about every other word. Usually God's name in vain. I mean, it was bad. It was filthy. And it wasn't something that I could do. It was something that He could do for me. Amen. Let me say it again. When you get saved, there's things in your life that ought to change. Amen. All the way down to some of the clothes you wear.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. Here's what they say. You got to get rid of this, and you got to get rid of that, and get rid of this, and get rid of that. And what happens, you're getting rid of all these things that they tell you you can't do. And then when you get rid of all those things, you're struggling, trying to live for God and meet up with all these rules, but you got a problem. You're running on empty. Because all you've did is take away a bunch of things and didn't add anything back. Amen. Listen. If I take this bottle of water right here, is this cup clean, Michael? Okay. Knowing him, I ain't no telling where I come from. As I got saved, some things did start leaving, but something else started coming in.
Amen.
Something a lot cleaner, something a lot fresher. Yeah. Amen. We got a bunch of empty Christians that's got a bunch of rules, and that's all they've got. And I'm not against rules. We ought to have standards. We ought to have dress code. We ought to do right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We ought to have some standards about us. Our language ought to be right.
Yeah.
But without God, all you got is empty religion.
Amen.
You might as well go down there to the big pointed church and eat the cracker and say your prayers to the preacher in the dress in the closet. Same difference. It's a bunch of people going through a bunch of motions who aren't really what they look like they are. God forbid a man sit and listen to somebody confess their sins then go mess with a little boy. That's what you get when you take them stupid vows. Amen. Bunch of perverts. Anyway, all they got's a bunch of motions. Empty religion. Let me ask you tonight, what have you got? When I got saved, that cup didn't, I mean, my heart felt totally different. I had that new heart, but there wasn't a new Eddie yet.
Yeah.
He didn't fill this thing up all at once.
Yeah, right.
It's a drink here and a drink there.
Amen.
Hey, I come to church, he'd put a little more in it.
Yeah.
Every little trial and valley I went through, God said, let me put a little more. Amen. And slowly for these 20-something years, God's been changing. And it's not just, everybody thinks about, oh, when you get saved, there's got to be a change. Oh, got to be a change. Needs to be a change. Everybody can see your hair is different. Your dress is different. Hey, the change, the more drastic change, is what on the inside nobody can see.
Yeah. Amen.
Anybody can put on a pair of breeches.
Yeah. Come on, Brandon.
Anybody can tote a King James Bible. Anybody can cut their hair over their ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all okay? Anybody can do those things. Those are actions. That was just what I wore, not who I was.
Amen.
When I got saved, I wore overalls to church. Amen. That was just what I wore. Wasn't who I was. Inside, I was a new creature. God began working on me, and God began doing things. And my wife didn't go home after church every Sunday and preach to me and say, you need to be doing this, and you need to be doing that. No, we got saved together. You might as well say we grew up together physically and spiritually. Amen. Got a picture in my Bible, us sitting at McDonald's when we was 12 and 13. Amen, that's my childhood sweetheart. But drastically over the years, we've just allowed God to do the work. We figured out somewhere along the way we couldn't do it all by ourselves. And you can't do it yourself. There's some things you have to force yourself to do, like pray. Read your Bible. Amen. There's some things you have to force yourself to do, but there's some things you're going to have to ask God to do in you. The Bible said that he who hath begun a good work in you will finish it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is he still working on you?
Yes, sir.
Are you letting him do the work? What about to the people around you? We need to change the way we think. We get the attitude or the mentality, boy, I'm going to straighten you out. You ain't straightening out nobody. You can't even straighten out your kids.
Amen.
Amen. You need God's help with that too.
Right.
Oh, it's your job to teach and it's your job to discipline, but you're not going to straighten them out.
Yeah.
Amen. My daddy told my mother, said, if you don't straighten him out, you're going to wind up with a jailbird on your hand. And you know what mama said? I've done all I know to do. He's grown.
Yeah.
Somebody said, give me a shot. Let me work with him. His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. Listen, I've done been through all the religious stuff. I had a membership at White Oak Springs Baptist Church, but I was on my way to hell. I done tried to play the good teen in the youth department thing. I done tried that. Didn't work. Because I was trying to change me. Mama was trying to change me. And the preacher was trying to change me. And the youth pastor was trying to change me. What they hadn't understood, some of them till this day, wasn't their job to change me. I figured out a long time ago, it's not my job to change you. I used to get discouraged. I mean, go home, cry, beat myself up, and contemplate resigning as being your pastor because I'd preach my guts out and preach and preach and preach and preach, and I wouldn't see any change. And I thought, I'm not doing my job. I'm not effective as a preacher. And one night in my bed, God said, it's not your job to begin with. It's your job to tell them, son. It's my job to turn them.
Amen.
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 I'm going to give it to you like it is. You do with it what you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep praying.
Amen.
I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep encouraging. And then I'm going to get to sit back and watch as God does the changes.
Yes,
you see, if we preached that thing on pride the other night. If we had anything to do this, there'd be a door for us to be prideful.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. I bet I'd sit up here tonight and say, boy, I sure am proud of what I've done with old Joe.
Yeah.
Well, what a change. What a different. He's a different human being than what he was.
Yeah.
You should have seen him a couple years ago. His face is all sunk in. I mean, look, he looked like one of them Ethiopians. Remember them Ethiopians that's starving? I mean, you can see every bone in his face. He looked rough, man. Them drugs was putting a whooping on him. Here he sits tonight in a suit and tie, surrendered to preach. Going to help drug addicts just like himself. Woo, man, look at there. Thanks to Brother Eddie, old Joe's where he's at. No, Brother Eddie ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. You see, I'm not in the Joe changing people. I ain't in the Jason fixing people. That ain't my job. My job is just to tell old Joe and to tell old Jason and to tell old Rusty and to tell old Michael and to tell, hey, y'all listen to me tonight. Hey, it's God that does the work. He that hath begun a good work in you. He that begun the work. It's not us. It's not me. It's not them. It's him.
Amen.
Amen. God changes people. You need to understand that in your heart. You need to get a good hold on it. Listen, when you get saved, there's some things that you ought to put off. There's some things as a Christian that you just should not ought to do. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. Y'all got time, ain't you? I ain't been preaching long anyway, have I? Book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. I want you to see this tonight. I hope I'm helping somebody. I'm honest, I do.
Amen.
Ephesians, chapter number 2. Look at verse 22. Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse number 22. What for? I'm sorry. 4:22. I wrote this outline years ago when I could see. No, I had glasses then. That's what it was. Listen, verse 22. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Are y'all watching this? There's some things that we're supposed to be unloading as we begin our work with God. There's some things that are supposed to be falling off. Some things that are supposed to be disappearing. Amen. And every one of these things are inward things, man. Every one of them start in your heart. Amen. You're supposed to love each other. Now, when I got saved, no, when I professed to get saved when I was little, and they started putting all those rules on me, most of them, not all of them, but most of them were biblical and right. But it was something that they tried to do vehemently in the Old Testament and couldn't. Amen? Why? They had no power over what had power over them. But then one day Jesus shows up. Amen. Look at Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Y'all there? Colossians chapter number 3. Look with me at verse number 8. He said, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. Listen, it'd be a miracle if we get a hold of the fact that there's some things we're supposed to put off. But our problem is a lot of times we're just trying to put off when we're not putting nothing else back on. Amen?
Yes, sir, brother.
We're not understanding that I can't change me. I can't fix me. There's not a doctor that can change me.
Amen.
There's not a doctor that can fix me. You can't make me love you. You understand that? You ever seen people who come in and they're kind of new, or maybe they're a little bit awkward, and they work themselves to death trying to make people like them? Y'all know the kind of folks I'm talking about? You can't make somebody like you. You can't make me love you, but Jesus can.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's some people that are hard to love, and somehow I love them anyway. Yeah. Back before I got saved, here would have been my thought toward them. I hate their guts.
Yeah.
I hate their guts. But boy, after I got saved, something changed.
Amen.
I didn't do that.
Amen.
I thought the church was full of hypocrites.
Amen.
I was right. And one day I figured it out. I can't beat them. I might as well join them. Amen. Amen. Church is full of hypocrites. I couldn't stand them. Then I got saved. All of a sudden, man, what's this? I used to not like that guy. Now he's all right.
Amen.
You know what that was? That was the Lord beginning to work.
Amen.
In my heart, in my life. Listen, if you got a problem hating, you got a problem.
Amen.
You got a problem. And you need the Lord to work in your heart. And you need the Lord to work in your life. I believe it's possible to be saved and hate somebody.
Yes, sir.
But what you've done, we just read it a while ago, you've given place to the devil.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Because you know what? Just as the Lord changes people, so does Satan.
Yes, right.
Amen. He changed that demonic man, didn't he?
Yes.
I don't think he was born that way.
Right.
I don't think he was born demon possessed. Somewhere in his life, he gave place to the devil. And if you give him place, the Bible says neither give place. If you give him place, he will fill it.
Yes, sir.
He will not leave it vacant.
Right.
He'll sell in and he'll begin. I've watched some of you. I've watched your life change for the negative and not the plus. I've seen you go from on fire for God to you ain't even smoking. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You was ablaze, now there ain't even no smoke. You were excited, now you look bored to death. You used to come to the altar.
Amen, brother.
And now you sit like a statue. You've given place to the devil. The Lord didn't cause that.
Amen.
The Lord didn't cause that. Well, I just ain't where I ought to be. Whose fault is that?
Amen.
Amen. Just as sure as the Lord will work and change your life, so will Satan.
Yes, sir.
He'll get in your marriage.
Man,
when the Lord's in the marriage, when He's put at the head of things, He'll make you love each other more than you ever have.
Yes,
amen. He'll make that thing sweet, man.
Amen.
One of Brother Fisher's assistants out in California, Brother Chris Cheney, he's a black man. And one year at the leadership conference, pastor's conference, they did the whole thing. It was about the home and marriages and relationships. And Brother Cheney and his wife got on the altar during the service, and the next morning in the morning service, he said, "It's on at the house." What was he saying? It sure was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Lord was giving His place back.
Right.
Well, the Lord giving when the Lord has His place, His rightful place in the heart of husband and wife, all that arguing turns into smooching. That shortness with each other turns into honey and baby and dear and darling.
Amen.
But when the devil has that place, he causes strife. You understand that?
Amen.
In the marriage, in the home, and in the church.
Yes, sir.
The only way we're going to have church trouble is somebody's giving place to the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you allow something to get up under your skin and aggravate you to the point you set through church mad, you just opened the door and said, "Come on in. Make yourself at home."
Yes, sir.
I'd rather sit here and be mad and have the Lord in my heart anyway. Come on in, smutty face. Let's fellowship. You say, "Nah, I wouldn't really do that." You've done it over and over and over and over and over. You do it on your job. You do it in your marriage. You do it in your church. I'm telling you, you get a hold of this, brother, change your life. That literally change your life. If you really get a hold of this and understand, God changes people. You can't fix me. Somebody said to me something about someone the other day. They said, "I tell you what's fixing to happen. I'm fixing to say something. I'm fixing to do something." I got news for you. It won't help. It really won't help. That boy right there. These days I've wanted to just squeeze his head like a pimple. I've prayed and begged God. Lord, help me help him. I don't want to just be his pastor. I'm his buddy. That's why I can make fun of him in public. He don't care. But one day God moved in his heart. You understand? And if the Lord, I can't fix it. Mom and Daddy can't fix it. But when the Holy Spirit moves in, then He can work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're going to go straighten somebody out, huh? How's that worked out in the past? How's that worked out for you? I mean, I get a problem with Rusty, and I get down here in his face, and I say, "Let's hear, bless God. Why do you always got to bring him in on your argument?"
Yeah.
Y'all know, bless God, I think... That's taking the Lord's name in vain. You might as well just score down right there, friend. You're backing up already. I get over here and get in his face and tell him just what I think. Do you think I have encouraged our relationship? Or hurt our relationship? We might get to where we shake hands and we're okay, but he ain't never going to forget Brother Ed come jumped on him. They're going to be a scar there. Are you all right? So I'm better off if I just leave him alone.
Yes.
You say, "But every now and then you got to." No, you don't.
No.
Now, if somebody's messing with my wife, you're going to hear from me.
Oh, yes.
Somebody mistreats one of my children, you're going to hear from me. I have a pistol too, by the way. Just
Amen.
So you know. I'm not built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I feel like it with it in my hand. I'll get close enough to leave powder burned too, brother.
Yeah, amen.
I will defend my family.
Amen.
But listen,
amen.
There's just certain things. I can't, let me just say it again. God changes people. By me trying to intervene and fix a situation, I don't know how many times in our school, we had our school for 13 years. I don't know how many times, I can't help but use them, Candace and Melissa. Their daughter and Brother Anthony's daughter. Them two was like Jekyll and Hyde. One day they were best friends, the next day they hated one another's guts. And I'd tell Barbara and I'd tell Denise, look here, if y'all a hush and stay out of it, leave them alone, they'll work it out. And it never failed. It'd be a chapel service or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. One of them would get up and go get the other one by the hand. They'd go squall into the altar and they'd be all right. So many times I've seen mama and daddies get involved.
Yes, sir.
And when they do, it doesn't do anything but stir a hornet's nest.
Yes,
and make it, now I hadn't got just two daughters mad at one another. I got two mamas mad at one another. And I got two daddies mad at one another. I'm on the verge of a church split because somebody couldn't leave something alone.
Yes, amen.
Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you let God handle it? Won't you let him take care of it?
Amen.
Amen. Ladies, why don't you start trusting God to help your husband spiritually?
Yes.
Men, the same way.
Yeah.
Start trusting God. Quit trying to point out all their problems.
Amen.
They know them.
Amen. Right.
I don't need my wife to go, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. I know my faults.
Yes, sir.
Y'all understand that?
Amen.
I know my faults. How many of you know yours? How many of you do something wrong, you know it's wrong while you're doing it?
Yeah.
You say, I shouldn't be. You're thinking to yourself, I ought not to be doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody goes, why'd I come over here when I started that? I don't, anyway. Somebody gets on their whammy hall and starts, just nag. And that doesn't make them better, it makes them bitter. I love you. I'm just kidding.
Why did I become the name?
You was looking at me like. I'm fixing to have to dismiss, y'all. How many of you realize we can't change each other? We get it. We get it. I hope you do. But how many of you realize God can change anybody?
Yes, sir.
God can take the sorriest, meanest old cuss walking on 2 feet and turn him into the sweetest fella you'd ever want to meet.
Amen. Thank God.
Yes,
Lord. I remember, only got to meet him just a few times, Brother Billy Kelly. If you've ever seen the old movie that Bob Jones University did years ago, Sheffy, about the circuit riding Methodist preacher, the moonshiner on Sheffy was Brother Billy. Brother Billy was country. He was a bear hunter. He had bear dogs. Now, that's one thing to tree a coon, but to tree a bear, but I'm telling you. But he was rough, rough old cuss, buddy. I mean as a devil. Mean. Hurt you mean. He got saved. You would never know that it was the same person. He had sat at the piano and tried to sing, couldn't sing for crying. Big old tears run down his face. He'd talk about how much he loved the Lord. God did that.
It
wasn't Miss Kelly.
Amen, brother.
It was the Lord.
Amen.
God took a man by the name of Billy Sunday, who was a drunken baseball player, professional baseball player. He wound up in the at a rescue mission, Chicago, Illinois. Heard the gospel and got saved. Became one of the greatest preachers America's ever seen. God changed him. Sam Jones was a drunken attorney. Cartersville, Georgia. Heard the gospel in an old tent meeting. Or a Brush Arbor meeting. Lord saved him. Became known as the greatest circuit riding Methodist preacher to ever live. You ever been to the Ryman Auditorium? The Grand Ole Opry? Not the new one, the old one. You ever seen pictures of it? Go online, Google it. It looks like a church. It's got pews, not seats. It's got stained glass windows. You know why? Mr. Ryman was a railroad tycoon. Brother Sam came to Nashville, Tennessee to preach every year, and they built him a big brush arbor to preach under. Mr. Ryman's wife, which they're related to my buddy, Brother Ryman, up in Delaware. She told her husband, said, honey, why don't you build a building just for Brother Sam to preach in when he comes to town? It wasn't built for Patsy Cline. It's built for an old drunk lawyer. God got a hold of and changed his life. What a difference he can make when we'll let him. He wants to change you. He wants to change me. But he's got to have our permission to do it. And not just our permission, but our submission. We've got to be willing to submit ourselves unto him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Amen? This is kind of the way we got to be. Okay, Lord, take out whatever you want. Our problem is we won't hold on to it. Especially bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. You hold on to those things like a little security blanket with your thumb in your mouth, like a little baby, not realizing you'll feel a whole lot better if you'll let that go. Several years ago, I had an abscessed tooth that was killing me. Charlie Ryder tried to kill me first. He gave me a pill, put me out for about 3 days. But I'd had all I could stand. I'm horrified of a dentist. Anybody else like that? It's like a real phobia. Some people are afraid of heights and airplanes, and I'm afraid of a dentist. Every time they take my blood pressure when I go to the dentist, and they said, do you have a problem with high blood pressure? No, it's you. I'm more scared of them than I am a two-headed water moccasin. But anyway, it got bad enough that I had to overcome my fear. I walked right across that street right there. It was a lady dentist. She said, can I help you? I said, get it out. She said, no, you need a round of antibiotics. I said, no, I need it out. She fired off a couple of shots in that thing, got up in that chair with me, put her knee down in my chest, clamped them pliers on, began to pull. That wasn't pleasant. And sometimes when God's working on us, it's not pleasant. Amen. Sometimes it's a painful process. Amen. But I promise you, immediately, that fast, as soon as that old root broke free from my jaw, there was automatically a release of pressure and pain, just like that. But I had to allow her to get up in that chair. Put them channel locks in my mouth and clamp on and pull. Are y'all listening? A lot of times we just want to hang on to what's killing us. We're not willing to go through the process, so here's what you do, and I'm done. You learn to live with it. You learn to be satisfied with where you are. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And that's how we justify it. I know I got a problem with pride, but, you know, at least I'm not cheating on my wife. And we get comfortable right there. And then one day we wonder, why am I not going forward? I get sick and tired of hearing that. Well, I would give anything if I knew the Bible like Brother Fred. Could if you wanted to. There's a reason you're not going forward. There's some preacher boys in this room ought to be progressing. You got comfortable where you're at. You've gotten comfortable where you're at. Maybe you need to crawl up in the chair and say, get it out.
Amen.
Don't let somebody talk you into, oh, you just need to do this. No, you get it out.
Amen.
God, get it out.
Amen.
Whatever it takes, I don't care if it hurts.
Amen.
If I've got to swallow my pride and go to somebody and tell them how sorry I am,
Amen.
That's what I'll do, but God, it's got to go. Because
yes,
I want to go further than where I am right now with you. Did you know, listen to me, preachers, and y'all know who I'm talking to. I ain't picking no one single personality, several in here right now. But there used to be something burning inside you.
Amen.
Right now, you could really care less whether you preach again or not.
Amen.
Get it out.
Yes,
so, well, you don't know what, it ain't for me to know. I'm telling you, I don't change people, God does.
Yes,
I can't get it out. I ain't got a big enough set of pliers to deal with what's hindering you. I could put my foot in your chest and pull and pull and pull and pull and pull. It's going nowhere because I have no power over it. But He does. We got to be willing to get down here and say, God, help me. Work on me. Lord, it seems like a under construction sign's been taken down. Not His choice. It's ours. I'll say it again. I'm done. Brother Todd, y'all come and get a song. God changes people. God changes people. It's not our job. It's not our job to change ourselves. It's our job to let Him change us.
Amen.
And He will if we'll let Him. But you got to want Him to. The only way you're going to want to is to get dissatisfied with what you got as is. Amen?
Amen.
There is nothing in your heart that He does not have the power to overcome. No bitterness, no anger, no malice, no unforgiveness. None of that He cannot overcome. And He can do it. He can do it. But you got to let go of it. You got to let go of it. Well, I've been working on it. That's your problem.
Amen.
That's your problem. It ain't for you to work on. You got to let Him do it.
Amen.
Amen. You wouldn't go to the doctor with a tumor, walk in the operating room, say, just hand me the knife, would you? You'd kill your stinking self. That's what we do spiritually sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Amen. Instead of going to God, we go to Facebook and ask for advice. You're crazy. We need to come to Him and say, Lord, I know you can do this. Please help me. He'll do it. Let's stand to our feet. Listen to me. If David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart, if he was man enough to say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, surely we can. If he was man enough to admit he wasn't where he once was, surely we can. You mind him tonight. Miss Janice, go ahead and sing a verse if you would.